Chapo gang shit. Man, this bitch with Nirvana, you already know how we mobbing.
Yeah, stay shooting like I'm Nirvana. Shoot like I'm Nirvana. Stay shooting like I'm Nirvana. Shoot like I'm Nirvana.
All right.
I take my grill off so I could speak more clear.
Okay. Do you choose like strategically when you keep the grill in and when you take it out?
Not strategically. Yeah. That's a good question, but I do definitely. I do. Matter of fact, I do strategically.
Yeah.
Decide when to take it in, take it out.
Right. Like a wedding, for example, are they in or out?
For a wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard one. Probably. I would want them in, but I don't like talking with them because they so big, like they clank my teeth.
Right. Right.
Because they just like super big. Like.
Mm-hmm. Maybe for the pictures, keep them in. And then take them out for the reception.
Yeah, see. I need to get a new one that I could keep in all the time that I could talk with that ain't like keep big ass teeth. Right.
Just a little bit smaller and yeah. Shit. Yeah. Can you like drink on them with them? With them?
Yeah, in? I could drink with them. I could eat with them.
You can eat with them. It doesn't get like stuck under and shit.
Yeah, it will.
It will.
They're dirty though. I don't eat with them, but if I wanted to, like.
Could. You could do it. Well, yeah. So, as Chapo said, we got Chapo on the show today, and. You're my first in-person guest, man. I'm really excited, bro. I'm honored. Yeah, so we were talking about tattoos. You always decide right when you get there what you want to get, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes, a lot of times, like, I just freestyle when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same shit with the studio. When I go to the studio, I just, like, I don't ever go in there with, like, a song that I'm finna do. Mm-hmm. I just go in. I got my producer homies who send me beats, like, fire-ass producers, like, I don't listen to the beats until I get to the studio so I could catch the vibe, you feel me? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and same shit with the tattoo. Like, I go, some like, my last two tattoos, I just got these and this. I just got the gold tanks with the little peep face tats and shit.
And then the fist going into, wow.
I'm going to get it shaded and shit so it's, like, more detailed. And I got this. These was my first two, like, planned tattoos.
Right.
I got Evil Love right here. That was just, like, freestyle.
Yeah.
Then the snake was just freestyle.
Yeah. So you find just overall in life that kind of works better for you?
Yeah, for sure. Just going with the flow and just like natural shit, I guess you would say.
Is that like a stay in the moment kind of thing? Just that's how you want to operate in life all the time?
Yeah, that's just how I am on a daily basis. I'm just in the moment type of person. Like I just go with the way shit is going. Like I don't really plan for shit. I don't really. Like same like with my music. Like I drop so much mixtapes and it's always just like, it just be like, I'd be like, damn, I ain't drop shit all month. Like I'm finna drop a mixtape and just listen to my songs. It'll be like a mixture of old ass songs and a mixture of some new songs I just made yesterday and a song I made last year. It'd be just like, I just be throwing shit together. It's like
mm-hmm.
kind of a bad habit, but it's just like, it's what make me happy. So it's like.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, happiness overall.
Why do you say it's a bad habit? I feel you.
Because I say it's a bad habit because just the way the music industry works, it's like systematic. You feel me? Like the way the algorithm and shit like that works. It's a system to this shit, and when you don't go with the system, it's like you like kind of cast yourself as like an outsider or like an underground artist, and it's just like. It's just untraditional to do what I'm doing. You feel me?
Totally.
It's not what the average artist does. So it's like makes me happy, but I say it's like the bad part about doing that is just like I can't like I'm just competing with myself. That's the good thing and the bad thing because it's like my music isn't gonna be like looked at how another artist is who like promoting they shit the right way, the traditional way and going about it the right way and taking the time to like pick a date, promote it for months before the date.
Yeah.
And it's like me, I like make a mixtape, don't come up with a name, think like put the songs together first, make up a name, like some random shit, get the cover art like the day before I drop the shit and then like drop it and then like talk shit to TuneCore for like dropping my shit a week late because like I just chose to drop it like 2 days ago. So it's like makes me happy, but I just know like my career could be rolling harder if I was just more like proficient with the way I release music.
So. Right, I totally understand. So it's it's what feels true to you versus what traditionally is gonna get the most attention or whatever it may be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like I could be a lot bigger if I do it that way, but I really don't care about being big because it's not like that's not what I do it for. Like I just make music just to express myself, and it was like I wanted to like in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm from, it's like a small city. But it's like a big, like when you're growing up, you think you like in a big city, like the movies, until you come to LA and shit. But it's just like really what made me do the music shit was just like proving my hood, like was like we was them niggas, like we was really piped up, you feel me? So
right.
It like escalated into me being like a big rapper that do like shows and do tours and shit, like so.
Do you see yourself getting to that point where you're kind of willing to play by? I guess, for lack of a better term, industry rules, like, to get to that point?
I definitely feel like I'm making the adjustments, like, I'm starting to transition into that, but it's so hard for me because, like, I'm such a, like, I'm just such, like, I'm socially distancing myself, like, every year, you feel me? Like, I'm just so, like, antisocial, like, all my friends party and kick it and, like, do cool shit with cool people, and I just be, like, I'm gonna just chill with the spot and, like, play the game and
right.
shit and, like, watch
right.
anime.
Right.
Like, I don't, like, really put myself. So it's real hard for me to really make that transition. But it's, like, as I'm getting older and I'm seeing, like, how much potential I got, it's inspiring me more and more. Because it's, like, I just feel like I'm at a standstill. And I'm getting bigger as a person. And, like, as, like, I feel like I'm getting bigger. But it's, like, it's just so hard for me to do because it's, like, I take it serious. But, like... Like, I do it overall more happiness than, like, me, right. like, trying to be a rapper, you feel me?
It's totally.
Like, just, like, some shit I like to do.
Yeah, I can totally understand that, because, like, with me, some of the videos that brought me the most joy or the most, like, just, like, happiness, putting them out and seeing people react to it and just in the process of making it, mm-hmm. I either wasn't making money on it and I completely was not worried about this, that, like, details of, like, anything. I was just, like, doing it, and it feels more pure that way, almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is it, like, you don't see yourself giving that up? Or it's not worth it to give it up to get to a certain point?
It's just, like, it's so hard to explain but I'm going to try my best. It's not that I don't want to give it up. It's just, like, I'm so comfortable with it, mm-hmm. and I just feel like, I just love I love myself so much. I like my self love is like, is a lot. Like I really
That's
love
beautiful.
Myself. Like That's when awesome. I was like when I was like dirt poor in the hood, like, and my friends was dying and niggas was getting killed. It was like through all that shit, I was still happy. Like when I did time, I was in jail, like happy that I had, like, I'm like, damn, I could be homeless or I could be like starving. Like, so I just appreciate myself so much that it's hard because it's like, I love all my songs, like even in my opinion, if I feel like a song is shitty, like this song is shitty, like I'ma still like it. You feel me?
Right. So right. Because it comes from you.
Yeah, because it's just like it's just something in that song that I like, or maybe it's just the beat that I like so much. Or,
yeah.
You feel me? Or just the melody, or maybe just some of my ad libs. It could be anything, and I just want to put it out, even though I know, like, this shit going, like, not going nowhere. Like, nobody going to fuck with it except, like, 5-6 kids. But it'd just be, like, but then I get them random DMs from kids that be, like, yo, bro, like, that one song, so-and-so, and it'd be, like, the most randomest song. I'd be having to literally look up the song to see what it is.
Right.
Like, and it'd be, like, that's more of what I do it for. But it's, like, I'm starting to do it the traditional way.
Yeah. It's worth it for those few kids that are affected by it. Even if it's some super, like, specific, only a few people would understand it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So has your, like, when I first got hip, it was, like, 2017, the No Jumper, kind of when you went on that run, dropping videos back-to-back with them. Yeah. Like, in your process-wise, has anything changed since then and overall?
Nah, it's still the same shit. Except now I'd be, like, I'm more like strict on my production because it's like, I just like a lot of times I just look, like I'll go to the studio and I just rap on any beat. Like I go through my email, like random kids send me a beat, like if I like it a little bit, I'll just hop on it. But now I'm more like strict. Now it's like I'm keeping my production limited to like the producer that I really fuck with, like genuinely as people and genuinely as like a fan of their instrumentals. Just like,
right.
So I'm more strict on that, and I'm actually like I used to record all my shit at, like at home and shit. Now I'm going to the studio more, and I'm taking advice more. Like I used to be like. So all my childhood friends, like my closest ones, most of them is in jail. Like my best friends who I talk to on a daily basis is in jail. Like Lil Rushy and Shino and Yells, like them like my three best friends, and they all in jail. So normally like say a year or 2 years ago, I'll put some shit out and they would hear it and they wouldn't like it that much because it's like so under, it's like so just me, like so just like, you know, just like emo guy street nigga shit, and they don't know about that shit. You
right.
feel me?
Because right.
they, like, we was in the hood. They ain't have like space to express themselves. So I would just ignore them. Like, I would just ignore them, and not on no like, just like bad. Not on no like just evil shit. Just I would just ignore them on some like I was just in my bag. Like I'm just so I just love myself so much. Like fuck what like fuck. I don't care what them niggas think. Like it's cool. But now it's like now. Since they got so much time in jail, like nigga Rushy got 14 years, like Shino got like hopefully he come home next year on his judicial, but if he don't, he got like 14 he left. My best friend Yells, like my childhood friend, my mom best friend's son, he got life. So it's like I'm being more considerate to them, because at first it was just like I was so just living my life in Cali, like not even thinking about my past too much that. You feel me? Like, I was just comfortable. But now I'm, like, I'm older, I'm mature, I'm gaining more wisdom, and I'm getting being more wise, so I'm listening to what they're saying, and I'm, like, and I'm like, evaluating their words and taking it to the heart. You feel me? The heart of the heartless, and really just taking note and taking heed into their opinion. And
right.
Like, more catering my sound to them, because I know they're in jail. Like, all they could do is listen to music and fight niggas and just... shit like that. So it's like I'm like usually I make music for myself and for my fans that appreciate me for myself,
right.
But now it's like I'm more making music for them, and with that and me learning how to do that, I'm also learning how to make music for like other people and like outsiders and like industry, and like you feel me, like I haven't learned how to make like no TikTok shit, but I'm like starting to learn like how, okay, like these are the kind of shit you gotta do for shit like that, like I'm starting to learn. But it's like, it's one thing knowing it and then interpreting it into your music. So it's a process that I'm definitely working on, but it's not something, it's not like a priority to me. It's just something that I want to do. Cause I just like my skill. It's crazy. Like my skill in Cleveland, like who I used to look at as my competition, like the big rappers in Cleveland who was like on the radio and like selling out arena shows in Cleveland, like all them niggas, like I surpassed them. You feel me? Like me and my homies who rap, like me and my like label, my homies, like we all like surpassed them. Like you feel me? Like my homies who just started rapping is like having the same amount, if not more, followers and more likes, and you feel me? Like my bro Johnny Blaze, like we just did a tour in January before the Corona shit happened.
Yep.
We just did a tour, and it's like so many Cleveland artists haven't did no like no nationwide, like no states. No tours out of Ohio, so it's just like I surpassed them so far, like just as like monthly listeners go, followers, like,
right?
Not saying mentally or
yeah,
but I'm just saying like
when it comes to the music, right?
To the music, the right? Numbers in the music,
right?
It's like I surpassed all of them, most of them. You feel me? And it's just so it put me in a mind state where it's like, damn, like. The niggas who I thought I was in competition with, I'm like shitting them
really,
now.
Yeah.
So it's like now I'm looking at these bigger rappers like them, like these, like this, like my new competition. Like I'm in a different bracket. Like I went from like college basketball to NBA. And it's like so now I'm looking like damn. Okay, well, since I'm in this tier and like people are considering me, motherfuckers calling me like a GOAT, like motherfuckers saying I'm a legend and like. I'm a niggas like saying I'm the king of the underground and shit like that. So it's like I have to level myself up to compete with the people who people was comparing me to and putting me in competition with. You right. feel me? So
does that ever feel like, do you ever feel a sense of pressure with that? Or do you feel like you're ready for it and it's kind of been a long time coming?
I don't really, I definitely feel like I'm ready. I don't feel no pressure because it's like, with the music shit, it's just like not even on no conceited shit or nothing, just on some like 900% trill shit. Like, it's like with the music shit, it's like, so it's so much of a big ass bracket of artistry and like and musicians who are just making good music mm-hmm. and but don't really know what they saying, like as far as like they don't really know how it feels to do this or to do that or to be this place or be that place, or you feel me, and people who just saying shit that they don't really know about. Like, it's so much artists who do that and blow the fuck up off of that shit.
Yeah. A majority, I'd say, at this point.
Yeah, the majority, for sure. Yeah. So, it's like me and, like, the people who I'm around and the people who I'm inspired by, for the most part, like, at least 98, like, I ain't gonna say 98, at least 90% of them people really know what they talking about. Like these niggas was real live, like, notorious for doing what they did. So
right.
it's like, I feel like I know I'm one of those artists that is notorious for doing the things I do. Like, I'm not here because I'm just the best rapper. I had the best lyrics, or I make the best music. I'm here because, like, my history, like, the things I've been through, the trials and tribulations of that God put me through.
That made you who you are.
That made me who I am. Yeah. You feel me? And it's like, as a person, that's why I'm here, because it's like, My story I have to tell, like my friend's stories that deserve to be heard. It's like, that's why I'm here. And it's like, me knowing that makes me so at ease, because like if everything goes down and some shit fuck up, it's just like, I know deep down, like, I'm still gonna be that same person I was when I was going through all of that shit.
Yeah.
And I made it out. You feel me? So it's like a real thing in the hood is making it out the hood. Like hella people don't make it out the hood. Like, a lot of kids die before they could graduate. A lot of kids go to jail before they could graduate. You feel me? A lot of people never leave their hometown. So it's like, it's a big thing. It's a big thing for me. Like that, like, I'm gonna always be happy. So it's really never no pressure, because it's like, my happiness always like a nigga who blew up because he just capping, you feel me? He's
right.
just making some shit up.
Because you made it from where you went and then exactly. to where you're going. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Do you feel that because you've pretty much completed that process of getting, making a better life and stuff, that you need to live up to that? Like, does that motivate you to, either in your art or otherwise?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely motivates me. It definitely just makes me feel like, I just gotta, like, do the best I can, just stay out of trouble and, like, stay out the way and just stay, like, sucker free, you feel me? Stay
right.
away from, it's like, it's, with the music shit, it's so crazy, because, like, when niggas do fuck nigga shit, it just make me never want to hang with a nigga or do music or talk to a nigga again, you feel me? Like, say I'm kicking it with a nigga, he do some fuck nigga shit, I don't even want to do a song with this nigga no more. Like, I don't even want to be around this nigga no more. And I feel like it's a downfall, but at the same time, it's like, it's who I am. You feel me? But
right. Do you feel like that same kind of skepticism and where you came from? Like, do you even give a shit when you, if you meet someone, like, either famous or who could put you on or anything like that?
No, it's like, I don't give a shit about a nigga put me on, you feel me? But I do give a shit about meeting, like, the people who inspired me, like, the people who, when I was, like, real live, like, in a trap, like, when, like before a nigga had a trap house, when a nigga was, like, at the corner store, like, serving crack to crackheads, I was with an MP3 player, you feel me? Like, listening to music, like, young as fuck, trapping, like, then when I meet them people, I'd be like, it'd be like, damn, like, I'm really meeting this nigga, like, If you would have told me
that same kid that this was gonna happen,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I would never think like, damn, I'm gonna be in a club with this nigga. I'm gonna be kicking it with this nigga in the studio. This nigga kicking game, telling me like real ball shit. Like, I never would imagine. Like, that was never like a part of my life. I never thought it would be, at least.
Right. What's some of that boss shit that either changed how you moving forward or affected your creative process that you heard from someone?
Man, it was like this one time Future was saying we was in the studio and it was late as fuck. It was like 6 a.m. We was in the studio. We had just went to the club. And we left the club and like hella niggas stayed in the club. But Future left. I was left with him. We went to the studio. And it was niggas in the studio still though who didn't go to the club or niggas who went before, like left before us. I don't know exactly. But so we was in the studio. It was like we got there like I ain't gonna say six. It was like four. I probably left at like 8, but like around like 6 o'clock, hella niggas was asleep. And he was saying some shit like basically like he was saying some shit like how, like if he make a mid, like if one of these songs he made go super up and he make millions off of the song, like everybody gonna expect something from him. Like everybody gonna expect shit from him, like different people, like you feel me?
For sure.
And he was saying like how, like pretty much technically he will only really genuinely be obligated to like break bread with the people who was really there when he made the song, like not the niggas who sleep, not the niggas who ain't there,
right.
Not the niggas who, but the niggas who really right there while he making this shit. And it was like that shit really changed the way I thought about things, because it was like everybody does feel obligated to for a handout when you working hard, but it's like if they not really there with you, like,
right.
And they don't even gotta be like there with you, like they was with you the same day, or if they not there with you in that moment, in that time, in them seconds of life, like, then it's like you're not really obligated, because it's like they really not there for you when that in that moment. So it just it really opened my eyes. And a long time ago, like it was when Doughboy had just got out of jail, and Future had came to Cleveland, and it's like our first time leaving. It's my first time leaving Cleveland, and we went to Akron, and that nigga Future, he told us like y'all, he like y'all gonna be the, like y'all gonna be the next big thing, like y'all gonna be the next big thing, like bigger than Bone Thugs, bigger than everybody, yeah. Like, and it was like damn. But that was when I was younger. It was like before I was really serious about music, when I was just on Savage Time, yeah. On Demon Time. So it was like when he said that really inspired me. Like, and then
that legitimized it for you.
Yeah, just really made me think like, damn, I can be this big.
Damn.
That's
a moment that must like give you that motivation. Sure. That motivation from that moment must last for, I mean, I'm sure it still is there.
Yeah, for sure. It was like, damn, it was crazy, because I just never thought. So them like the two biggest things that really, and Thug, when I first met him, I told him like, bro, to be real with you, like, cause he had liked my picture before I met him, so when I first met him, I, my nigga Doughboy always told me like you gotta tell people shit like. When you there in that moment, like you gotta, you feel me? Like not speaking on that, but just speaking in general. Like me and my nigga Doe, we always kicking game to each other. And he just told me like, you gotta real life take shit into the moment. Like he was drunk as fuck too. He like, cause you don't know what's gonna happen. Like you don't know what's gonna happen. Like this could be the last time you see a motherfucker, or the last time you speak to a motherfucker. So, you feel me? You gotta take advantage. And
that's very true, yeah, especially this day and age. That's very true.
For sure. And it was like. So when I met him, I told him, like, I kept it real with him. Like, I'm like, damn, bro, like I was, to be real with you, like, we was in the club, too, so it was hella weird. Like, we in the club, turned up,
Yeah. Hella
bitches and shit, and like, I'm just speaking, like, you feel me, from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, niggas don't do shit like that in the club.
But
I'm hollering at him, and I'm like, yeah, bro, like, I was real. I was, like, in a bad place. Like, I was depressed, you feel me? Like. And it wasn't really me that was depressed. It was a nigga I was around, and he was just a real bad person for real. Fuck nigga. So I told him like, yeah, bro, I've been real depressed. Like you feel me? Like I thought I was falling off. Like I thought, you feel me? Like and then you liked my picture, and that shit made me happy as fuck, bro. Like, cause it was like perfect timing. Like nigga, I thought like I wasn't doing shit, and then like nigga, you one of my favorite rappers, like you liked one of my pictures and commented on it, like that shit was brazed to me, like I couldn't believe it. You feel me? Because I was so down and like I was so like I was trapping hard, like I was having racks, like nigga, $1 million trap house, mansions, Bugattis, nigga going crazy, going ape shit. Like I was trapping so hard that I wasn't focused on my music shit.
Right.
You feel me? I kind of lost my vision because of the money. So it was like. It was like, you feel me? And that's why I was really down, because I thought like I wasn't doing the right shit with my music shit. But then she was like, Chapo, you that nigga, you always gonna be that nigga. And like, I always knew I was that nigga, you feel me? I always say I'm that nigga, but
yeah. But to like, hear that from someone that you respect.
From this nigga though, yeah. Like this, like a nigga I idolized, like, you feel me? Like nigga, yeah. This like a nigga father figure to me, like nigga, right. I ain't, you feel me? I don't
then talk you know, to my dad. Right, then you know not only do I love myself like you were saying and think that I'm the shit, but someone that I think is the shit thinks I'm the shit, so I must be the shit. Yeah.
And it's like, then it came to thought, like, damn, I wonder, do this nigga just fuck with me? Like, or do he fuck with my music? Or what is it? But either way, it's, like, dope as fuck. Like, just to know, like, a motherfucker paying attention and care about you, even to go out their way and show you any type of appreciation. You feel me? Like, that shit was really touching. So, them, that's, like, some real shit that really, like, made me boss up my life and just, like, all the chats, like me and my nigga Doe, like... Like, he realized, tell me, like, bro, like, you out of pocket. Like, when I was just wilding in the streets, like, you tripping, bro. Like you really, you the one, bro. Like, you got to really do this shit. Like, you feel me? Like, in so many words, he was just basically telling me, like, nigga, he just did 4 years for some shit that, you feel me? Some shit that we had going on together. And he like, bro, like, you feel me? Like. We can't be out here like this. Like, we can't be out here trying to rob niggas and shit.
Right.
Like, and it was like, I never, like, I always, like, wanted to blow up, but I never thought about sacrificing the streets. Like, never thought about, like, damn, I can't be just out here robbing niggas and shooting at niggas and shit. Like, you feel me? Like, so that's definitely, that was, like, the biggest thing was, like, him really telling me, like, really acknowledging me and telling me, like, bro, you could be a rapper. Like, you don't got to be no savage. You ain't got to be no shooter. Like, you could really be a rapper. Like, this shit, and, like, we got this shit, bro. It's on the flow. Like, it's going. Like, we already doing this shit. Like,
yeah, it's already, the wheels are in motion. Yeah,
them was like the most inspirational words that I could remember. It was so much inspiration, though. Like, the homies just be kicking game to me all the time. Like, just different people just... It's always, but I've always been a listener, you feel me?
Yeah. How much getting used to does that take when you transition from being active in the streets to being active in your craft? And what kind of getting used to is it? Is it like you miss the feeling of doing whatever it may be or the whole lifestyle, or what is it?
Okay, so what does it take? It just takes like just... real live hope, you feel me? Like, it was just really a time where, like, in the beginning of my uprising was like a real dark place for me, you feel me? Because it was like I'm in the streets, like all I know is get busy with niggas, get active, you feel me? Like, so it was dark because it was like hella people was on my head, like hella people wanted to kill me. So it was like motherfuckers calling me to the streets, like motherfuckers calling me like, bro, we finna pull up on these niggas, like slide with us, you feel me? And it's like I'm having to, cause I'm the one who's starting shit, like cause I'm a hothead. So it's like going from that to having to tell a nigga like, bro, like I ain't even on that shit, bro, fuck them niggas.
Right, now you're the voice of reason.
It's like it's crazy, cause it's like motherfuckers, some motherfuckers be like, you a bitch.
Oh, like you changed or something.
Like you a hoe, bro. I ain't, nigga, you nigga, it's on the flow, like nigga, we pulling up, like nigga, you coming, bro? Like,
how do you respond? What do you do in that situation?
It's just like nigga, like the first couple of times I came, you feel me? And
that's like extreme peer pressure.
Yeah, and then it just got to a point where it's like fuck that shit, like. You feel me? Get rid of the niggas I gotta get rid of.
Yeah.
And keep it pushing, but it was definitely a dark ass place for me.
One thing I really like about you that I see a lot is you're very, it seems genuine on your social media, Twitter especially. Mm-hmm. Like you do a lot of talking to fans and Like you interact with them in the way that like you tell them you can do, you tell them that they can do whatever it is that they have their heart set on and stuff, and I fuck with that. So what is it that, what made you start operating that way?
Just wanting to be a voice, you feel me? Just like, cause it would be times where I would be just in like a dark place, and I would just be like looking for answers, like on Twitter or Instagram, of course. Like mm-hmm. all you do is go on your phone, you on Instagram or Twitter, so it's like you ain't going to Google like what's wrong with me, like yeah. So I would like go on Twitter to look for answers and like look for inspiration and just positivity and shit. So yeah. like that's what I would do when I would be down. So it's like I wanted to be able to like people who like me who like they don't want to seek therapy or they don't want to like them type, you feel me? Like the rebellious ass motherfuckers, like I wanted to help them people, like I wanted to give them kid game to them, like just from a different standpoint, from my perspective of like what I think is right and what's wrong and what's helpful and what's useful to me. So it's just really just about me wanting to like share my and just knowledge, like it's like the more knowledge you spread, the more knowledge you receive, you feel me? Yeah. So it's like it's just like I'm looking for answers myself. So sometimes yeah. I say some shit and somebody say some shit back and it makes more sense to me, or them not understanding where I'm coming from, just make me see like damn, like people really be like in their head, like don't be knowing how other people think, like motherfucker, I say some shit and motherfucker disagree with me and discredit me, but it's like this how I'm thinking. This my right. my like you like everybody is allowed. You're allowed to think how you want. You allowed, even if you whether it's wrong or right, as you allowed to like. So,
yeah, and you admit that you don't have it all figured out, which is super rare. I feel like
for sure.
Yeah, where does that is that humility just from that same background? Because I feel like a lot of people at levels of success way less than yours already have that huge ego and that they are incapable of being humble and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely because where I come from and just how I was raised and like everybody I was around was just always like caring and like these murderous ass motherfuckers, like these crazy ass motherfuckers that people like really fear. It's like they were, even them motherfuckers was caring and loving and was like we just was always there for each other, like we was always friends. So it's like mm-hmm. it's just like. Yeah, it's just how I was raised and where I came from and knowing, like, just knowing you could be here today and going tomorrow, you feel me? Like, this shit, like nigga, my, like with Peep, it was like, before I met that nigga, like, I didn't know what he looked like. I knew his SoundCloud, so I heard his music. Like, I knew what he looked like, but not good enough to where when I met him, I was going to know who he was, you feel me? Right, so right. I fucked with his music so hard, like, because it was, like, it was just, like, crazy. And it was, I like, this was before I was listening to other music other than hip-hop. So Peep was definitely, like, my first artist who, like, the first artist who I listened to that, like, opened my ears up to different kind of music and shit. And when I met him, it was, like, he was opening up for me on a show. And I didn't know who the fuck he was. It was like this kid with pink hair. And then I like, he was cool as fuck. And I linked with him and he was just so like, we was just like real cool. Like right. we linked and we like made music and like I found out he was Peep and he was like, but he was playing all his songs for me and it was hella songs I didn't hear because he was just like somebody I found on SoundCloud and like right. never listened to him again after I heard that music. It was just like that day I was like, in that mood and I just listened to all his shit.
Yeah.
Then never heard, listened to him again and then he was playing that shit for me and it was just so fire. And then like we made music and then he blew the fuck up. Like this, like when I first met him, he was opening up for me. Like it was like an underground warehouse show. Like I was the headliner. Nigga Smoke Perp opened up for me. Lil Peep and the whole Goth Boy clique.
What year?
It was like, I don't remember, I think maybe 2016.
Yeah. Sounds like 2016, 17 maybe.
Yeah, maybe 17. Yeah. And it was just like, so he blew the fuck up. And like, I'm talking about like you know how big he blew up. Like nigga was on nationwide tour and shit, going overseas all the time and shit. And it was like, when I finally linked with him again, like, he had a show in Cleveland. And when he hit me up, I was so surprised. Like, even though we were still close and, like, communicating with each other, I was surprised because he was just so big. Like, this nigga blew the fuck up. And he was still the same exact nigga who opened up for me. And you feel me? And it was just like, and he brought me out and everything. And it was just so, like, just a humbling ass experience just to know, like somebody blew up so hard that don't got nothing to do with me, don't owe me shit. You feel me? Like, only could relate to each other, like, as far as, like mental shit, like, not on our backgrounds or anything like that. It was just a real humbling experience and just two different people, two different crowds. Like, none of his fans in Cleveland knew who the fuck I was. Like, none of them kids knew who I was. It was like, he didn't have no reason to bring me out. Like, he just brought me out of love, like, because he in my hometown and we friends and shit. So it was just real humbling. And then, like, and then seeing him lose his life, it was just, like, crazy. Like, damn, like, this nigga was just here. You feel me? He was just here. And it's just, like, like, shit that's going to always carry with me. Like, it's going to always make me, like, be, like, more like him is to the best I can, just as far as being a good person, because he was just, like, kind and just nice and never, you feel me? Like, of course, everybody got their dark side. Everybody, you feel me? Everybody, you feel me? Like, he was a real, like, genuine demon, like, honest, nice, kind demon, you feel me? And it's just, like, definitely humbling and just where I'm from. It's like, I came from nothing, you feel me? Like, nigga, I was, like, in the trenches for real, like, fucked up. So, like, nigga, my first Gucci shoes was fake as fuck. And they, like, I didn't even know they was fake. I didn't even know, you feel me? Like, I couldn't even tell. Like, that's where I came from. Like, where, like, now it's like, if I see some shit I know is fake or real, it's like,
you know right away.
But it's like, where I'm from, it's like, I didn't know nothing like that. Like, like, them, you know how sometimes somebody, some random motherfucker you see, like, outside or some shit just got the fakest. Shit on, you just like, damn, that, like,
shit all the time.
Yeah, it's like, I'm from where I'm from. It's like, nigga, you wouldn't even know nothing. So it's just the trenches, like.
Yeah. Does that stuff make you happier, you feel like? Nice clothes and all that material stuff?
But I wouldn't say nice things make me happy, but shit that colors make me happy. So, like, my favorite colors and shit make me happy. Designs and shit, like a lot of kids, like, all right, for instance, like, the Rick Owen pants, like, them bitches, like, they fire, but they just so regular to me, they just, like, plain. It's like, I got a pair, but they don't make me happy. But my jeans that, like, really, like, my jeans, like, these don't make me happy, but, like, my jeans that got, like, red paint on them make me think of blood or, like, shit like that make me happy. Like this a off-white shirt that I cut up, and, like, me and my homie Dark Denim made this bitch, and, like, but shit like this, like the cross and the snake,
right?
Like,
you stitched that on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
like,
far.
Yeah, I actually stitched this on. He did, like, the collar. He did. But
that's super. I'll show you some pants I got that me and my friend did the same thing with dental floss. We did it.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, so, like, I wouldn't say material things make me happy, but just shit that I like.
Yeah.
Like shit that I buy that I really like my Gucci shoes with the spikes. Like, it's like I'm a rock star. Like, I really like that shit. Like, you feel me? Like, designer shit make me happy too, but only the shit that I really like. Like, my wife, like, she like grew up, she grew up in the suburbs and shit. Like, so, like, she's like super unmaterialistic because she's like just how she grew up and how she was raised. And she, like, even though she got hella bread, it's like she like going thrifting. She like going, like, to see, like, different shit and just to, you feel me? Like, I buy her designer shit and shit. Like, she appreciated, of course, but it's like she also appreciates going thrifting and just, like, just for the experience. And like, she introduced that to me because, like the first person that introduced me to thrifting, my mom, of course, but it was, like, it was looked at different because it's my mom. Then my friend, then Lil Zelly, he put me on the thrifting, but it was like the consignment thrifting where they had like Supreme and Bass and shit.
Right.
So he the first person to put me on to that. So that's really how me and Zelly became friends. Like, we was like fashion friends, like, mm-hmm. before he was rapping or anything. Like, I brought my computer to his house to make his first song and all that shit. Like, but some material shit, like, it's just the shit that I really, that describe me as a person, that's what make me happy. Like, my Rick Owens pants, like, I don't even wear them bitches. I just got them just because it's just the hype, you feel me? But it's like, they just so plain and basic. Like, they don't describe who I am as a person, mm-hmm. you feel me? But it's like, when I wear these jeans or them jeans or my, even some Abercrombie jeans, you feel me, with some rips in them, like, them would describe me 100 times better. Some Abercrombie jeans with some rips would describe me just more as a more grimy, more rugged, more like rebellious than like some Rick Owens. It's just like, had me like them just plain regular, like basic, you feel me? So it's, and like, so definitely like my grills definitely made me happy, because like growing up, I was like a real dope boy. It was like, I ain't never want like no watches or like, I ain't never want no like necklaces or never, I ain't want no chains or nothing, because I was like a real dope boy. Like, I wanted grills. Like, I always had gold grills. Like, you feel me? I wanted the plug. I was like dope boy selling dope to crackheads. So it's like I always wanted grills. Like, that was the only thing I cared about. And it's like, I'm older now. It's like, I'm trying to get more into jewelry and shit. But it's like, still, it's just my mentality from where I'm from. It's just still like, I just want some grills. Like, I'm cool. Like, so I'm hella like materialistic in a good way, as far as like the shit that I have a passion, the materials I have a passion for.
Right.
But as far as just wanting shit to have it, and just cause like it's popping or it's expensive or it's designer or it's cool or trendy, it's like that shit, I'm unmaterialistic towards that shit. Like, I will like do the shit and like be in that category, not in the category, but I would like participate in that type of shit. But that's not what make me materialistic, you feel me? It's more of the shit I got passion for, the pieces that I feel like I relate to. Like, when I see some shit that I could really relate to, it's like some shit that I really like.
Like,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but like with the snake, like, when I was a little nigga, like, we used to, it was this bridge right down across the street from my house, and we would go under the bridge and like look for snakes all day, you feel me? Like, little garden snakes. Like,
did you find some?
Yeah, we would always find them. It was like little garden snakes, like under the freeway bridge on West 98th, between Madison and Lorraine, on Western, matter of fact, West Boulevard was a bridge right there. But I'm just saying that for the niggas in Cleveland and shit who watch it, so they can know what I'm talking about. But right on West Boulevard on 98th, that bridge right there, we used to always go there for snakes. So it's like, I always like the snakes and shit. That's why I'm real slime gang, you feel me? Real slime gang, because it's like, it's really the snake. Like, I really love that bitch. Like, just like reptiles in general, like dragons, you feel me?
Right.
But yeah, so it's, when it comes to shit like that, I'm super materialistic for the shit I got a passion for, the shit I really like.
Right. But all that shit seems to bring you happiness in a totally different way than anyone I've heard describe it.
For
like,
sure.
You're slime gang, you know, et cetera, but you actually were going and looking for snakes.
Yeah, when I was really dirty and shit. Yeah, like, that's, I swear to God, like, my mama, like, turning over rocks, all that shit, like, in the dirt. Like, me and my nigga Yells, he got life now. Like, I used to go to his house at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. Nigga, wake him up. Mom, like, can't nobody come over. Like, who? Like, it's Chop. It's Carlito. Okay.
I'm good.
Like, this is my mom's best friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like, yeah, but definitely.
Yeah, that type of friend that you just described, where you're the one other friend that can come over, that's like such a gift, man. Like, if you have that friend, you got a whole
Yeah, like, you want punishment, can't nobody come over.
Except
this nigga, like, okay, it's good, you already know, like.
Yeah, it's more like a cousin coming over.
For sure,
like,
we was more like cousins, for sure. Everybody think we cousins, like.
Yeah.
He white, too. He German and Puerto Rican. White as fuck.
Wow. And that's like, a cool mix.
Niggas, he's so bloody, though. Everybody think he black. Like, everybody think he light-skinned because he just bloody. I don't know why that shit brazy.
Right. When you talk about, like, those times under the bridge and everything, do you feel nostalgia?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because there's just so much memories, like, We used to throw rocks at cars and shit. Like, we was bad as fuck. We used to, like, dress up like ninjas and, like, wear all black and, like, plan on, like, breaking in somebody's house like ninjas and shit and then just be loud as fuck. Like, shit crazy. Like, we used to be, like, playing with swords with broomsticks and shit. Like that was my best friend, man. I'm sorry. Like, I remember we had stole this brand new, like, it was a dino, the silver and gold one. No, not a dino, a rhino, with the rhinoceros, with the gold pegs. I had stole that bitch. And I was doubling him, and I hurried up and went to the driveway and, like, scratched my grandma's car. She was pissed, like, crazy. My grandma was brazy, like, right on 98th, that house, like, was brazy. Like, she would beat my ass, but I was bad as fuck. Like, I'd go, like, just go pick and take flowers out the garden, just ripping them bitches out. Like, I was just bad. I don't know why. Like, now, like, I forget because I'm just talking to you. It's just bringing memories.
Sure.
Like, I always, it's like, my grandma was always hella brazy, and I never really, like, understood why. But now I'm thinking, like, damn, I was bad as fuck. Like, I would just go pick roses out the garden. Like, like, she had every right.
Yeah. Maybe there's some reason behind it. Sure. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the time that a lot of the most creative people were always bad kids. Or they acted out. Like, they had ADHD or some whatever it may be.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it was Einstein or somebody. Like, somebody like that said some shit like that about ADHD. Yeah. One of them, like, super genius niggas said some shit about, like, and with art. Like, with
Elon, maybe.
Yeah, and with, like, art and shit, like, all the, like, the most famous artists be, like, real crazy ass.
Yeah. They have something.
Yeah.
It'd be
it's definitely a thing for sure.
Yeah. It's crazy now, too. They put, like, the kids on medication and shit because they're acting out in class. But that same thing that makes them act out, I feel like, a lot of time could be the source of their genius. So
for sure.
It's kind of risky.
Yeah, it's definitely risky because I was one of them kids that I was on meds when I was a young nigga. And I definitely... I got off meds, and I'm where I'm at now. So if I was still on meds, I used to be like, I would probably be, excuse me, I would probably have like some random drug addiction to antidepressants or some shit if I was still on them bitches.
Yeah, it's risky, huh? It's risky.
Hell yeah.
Do you, how do you feel differently when you're on meds versus not?
When I used to be in school and I used to be, I had one of my teachers, I forgot his name, man. Damn, I wish I remember his name because he said the realest shit to me. Like, he said, every time you don't wear your glasses to school, you get in trouble. You always doing bad shit. Like, it ain't the medicine, it's the glasses. You feel me? And I'm like, damn, like, that shit, I always remember that shit. But yeah, when I was on meds, it would just, like, have me, like, super calm, collective, like, drowsy, like, just, like, drowsy. Just not trying to do shit. Like, just in school, just... I would be focused, though. Like, I'd be focused, but I'd be tired, too. And when I wasn't off meds, I was just super hyper and just super talkative. Like, always talking to other kids, always bothering the girls and shit. Like...
Yeah.
Like, bitches always... I just remember, like, bitches always used to be telling on me, like, damn, Carly, you don't keep bothering me. Like, damn, bitch. Yeah, I remember, though, I swear. It's crazy, though, because even when I was in elementary school, bro, I used to be, like, I had the bitches. Like, I was, like, the nigga who used to be with the bitches and, like, at lunch and shit. Like, I had two best friends, my Marshawn and Alyssa. They was, like, my best friends in elementary. I'm Aaron C. Seltzer. Them was my niggas, though. But, when I was off the meds in school, though, it just had me, like, super just, like... Just like zombie mode, like I'm in school to learn.
Fuck, man, that sucks.
I'm talking about I'm in school to learn. Like, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny that story with the girls.
Yeah, for sure. I stay getting told on.
Yeah. Man, you're a fucking cool dude, man. You're an interesting guy.
I fuck with you, bro. You already know.
Yeah. So, I think that's a good place. We definitely got to do part two.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely just scratching the surface, I feel like. I definitely feel like.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know. I thought it went off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for sure. Definitely. I'm definitely down for part two, bro.
Let's do it.
But before we end it, I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
Do you like Do you like recording videos more or editing videos?
I feel like editing is the part that I'm more like. It speaks to me more.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any music videos that you just edited and you didn't record?
That's a really good question. I have some all animated ones.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that shit hard.
Yeah, thank you. That I didn't have access to the person, so we just had to do a cartoon, but just edited. Yeah, I've done a few, mostly like commissions and shit. People pay me for it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. But all right. Yeah, that's our show. That's the .com Nirvan show, episode 4. Chapo, thank you so much. You're the greatest guest ever. And yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Okay.
Hey, the Chapo, you already know how I'm out. Go to boy shit. For a little wrestling. 2 times. Hey. Hey. Chapo, nigga, pull up right now. You get smoked, nigga. Smoking like some dope. Lil Chapo, where you at, nigga? I'm in LA with them rats. If some niggas call my phone, I won't never call them back. If some bitches call my phone, I won't never call them back. If he look at me wrong, then he might just get whacked. That's that. Hey, young nigga, hey. Fuck my friend mine, Lil Chapo, Nirvan.com. Pull up right now, blow him up like a bomb. Lil Chapo like Saddam. Who's saying what? We spraying, bitch. Nigga hit with the buck. He got hit with the buckshot in his fucking nuts. He can't have no kids. He was talking shit like we ain't know where he live. Hey, Lil Chapo, what you finna do today? I'm on my way, babe. That's all these bitches want. They just want to suck on my dick. I don't play. Lil Chapo got them bricks of the yay. Nigga, you could come and shout with me, nigga. Come and shout with me. You won't never go broke. Shout with me till you go broke. You won't never go broke. Lil Chopper, where you at? On the Grove with a stove. On the Grove, just like CJ. Every day is payday. My trap rock like eBay. He say, she say, we spray choppers each and every day. If it's beef, we gon' shoot up his house every day. If not, we gon' shoot it up every other day. Lil Chopper, where you at? Nigga, I'm in LA, but I was just in MIA. I sold 7 bricks a yay. Then I went back state to state. Blooded boys, we state to state. Ay, bitch, I got them plates like a chef. In the kitchen like a chef. Right-handed, cook the cocoa with my left. Lil Chapo, take them breaths. Lil Chapo, take them breaths. And we kill so many ops that is hardly none left. Feel a rush and the nigga that he shot was a bitch. And that nigga was a snitch. Lil Chapo, bitch, I'm rich and I still be an Abercrombie Fitch. Lil Chapo, I don't even know what time it is, bitch. Hey, nigga, Lil Chapo, what you finna do, man? I don't know, she don't wanna fuck me, bitch. I'm not tryna fuck for free. Nope, Lil Chapo expensive. My bitch bought me a necklace, and she bought me a necklace, and bought me a Lexus, and bought me some Benzes. Lil Chapo the freshest. In the kitchen, just like a chemist. These niggas is breakfast, lunch meat, turkeys. Slap.